Thank you. Good morning. And I agree that you are stellar for being here on the last day at 8 o'clock in the morning. So thank you. As Leah said, my name is Sheila Castillo. I am the principal investigator of CDET Chicago at the University of Illinois at Chicago. And I have no financial interest to disclose today. So it'd be nice if I did, but nope, don't have them. Anyway. CDET Chicago is funded by the Centers for Disease Control through the Racial and Ethnic Approaches to Community Health U.S. Initiative. We are a partnership of the Midwest Latino Health Research Training and Policy Center and the Healthy City Collaborative at UIC, as well as the Chicago Department of Public Health. As Lee said, our goal is to reduce cardiovascular disease and diabetes among Latinos and African Americans, and our primary strategy is to change policies and systems that impact the social disparities that make it difficult for people to eat well and to be physically active. Exactly how we should do this, we brought that question to our coalition, and I think this is a picture of our very first coalition meeting. The CDET Chicago Coalition determined that we needed to work on two things: to increase health literacy at the community level through peer education, and then also to increase the equitable distribution of healthy food. And today I'm going to talk about the work that we're doing on healthy food. So increasing access to healthy food is one way to think about increasing the equitable distribution of food. And while access to food is not just an issue of proximity to food, we determined that really the best thing to do is to look for ways to bring healthy food into Latino and African American communities. As I'm sure you know, not all communities have the same access to healthy food sources. The dark hatch marks on this map indicate communities in Chicago where people have to go at least a mile to a supermarket. All of these communities are predominantly African American and low income. And there is a similar pattern in the Chicago metropolitan area. So low income Latino and African American residents in the Chicago metropolitan area have less access to supermarkets that sell a wider array of food, fruit, vegetables, and other healthy food options. So our Food Equity Policy Committee decided that promoting the local production of food in Latino and African American communities was really a good way to increase access to food. Urban agriculture, the production of food at a larger scale in communities, was also seen as a good way to make sales of produce more easily accessible and affordable in these communities. But in reviewing this option, we realized that urban agriculture does not come unhindered. And our committee decided that planners, municipal planners, were the critical people to target if we wanted to promote the local production of food. So, why planners? I'll give you a couple of seconds to take a look at this quote. But overall, it says that planners have a role in combating diabetes and cardiovascular disease because they can impact access to healthy food by manipulating the built environment. Having determined that we really needed to address planners and planning barriers, the committee began defining the best methods to reach planners in the greater Chicago metropolitan region. We didn't know the planning issues, and we didn't know what to ask planners to do. While there's research on urban agriculture and planning, we didn't know if the planning barriers identified in that research were relevant to our region. So we decided to do our own research. Graduate students from UIC's College of Urban Planning and Policy conducted semi-structured interviews across 14 counties in Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, and Michigan. By the way, this is what we define to be our service area. We call it the Greater Chicago Metropolitan Region. We had a total of 13 county and municipal planners and 25 local agriculture practitioners participate in the study out of 90 who were invited to be interviewed. CDET Chicago staff used qualitative analysis and coding methods on the students' data in order to identify the planning barriers across the region. Analysis of the interviews identified these as the major barriers to the local production of food in the greater Chicago region. And following are some examples of what these barriers actually mean that were provided by the interviewees. Local food producers were totally unanimous in saying that inclusive and realistic regulations are needed. They want planners and local officials to be clear and fair about what they're supposed to do. Land is expensive, especially within municipalities. And interviewee suggestions for overcoming these barriers included using public land, such as parks, and even land owned by municipalities that were being unused for other purposes to use those lands to grow food. One specific planning issue that came up multiple times was zoning. One instance of zoning, or a major barrier in zoning, is that most jurisdictions don't have urban agricultural zoning. And then many planners and petitioners reported that the largest zoning barrier in their jurisdictions was that urban agriculture was not seen as a primary use. It's almost always seen as an accessory use. That means that every piece of land has to have a primary use. Typically, it would be a house, you know, or it could be a church. But if urban agriculture is an accessory use, it couldn't be the predominant use on that piece of land, and therefore most urban agriculture takes place in backyards. So, not big enough to serve the purposes that we were looking for. It's no surprise that overall costs and funding are important barriers to the growth of local food production. Sometimes land zoned for agriculture comes in large parcels, and typically it would be half of a farm field. And these correlate directly with heavy property taxes. So when you add the cost of the land to the cost of equipment and maintenance and operations, it really becomes costly, very expensive. Also, funding for the nation's food supply is really revolves around subsidies to commodity crops, corn and soybeans in our region. And this means that local food producers sometimes have a challenge for finding, or typically have a challenge at finding long-term funding. The first speaker spoke about this a bit too, farming training. Food production is difficult, and resources require a good amount of training to do effectively and efficiently. Our interviewee said that the economic realities and subsidies have really geared farmers to working toward commodity farming. And urban agriculture needs a different kind of farming, and we have to have a training system that is very much different from what exists today. Water access was mentioned as a barrier many times. Finding a site with water access is important, but it is even more important that they find one that has affordable water access. There was a story of one urban farmer that had to have a water line moved, and it cost them $25,000. And that is typically not affordable for urban agriculture practitioners. Insurance has become a large concern for local food producers. They need crop insurance, which typically is geared toward commodity crops. They need traditional liability insurance, and planners and practitioners are talking about the need for insurance covering environmental liability. Lastly, our interviews indicated a need for more access to processing and distribution facilities. And they really just want a fair shot at getting their food into grocery stores. So, with our research results in hand, we organized the food system planning workshop and recruited planners from throughout the greater Chicago region. 35 planners from counties, municipalities, and food-related organizations participated in our workshop. We reviewed the research and then asked the planners to identify additional barriers, something that didn't come up on this list. The combined list was then prioritized, and the most important items were discussed in breakout groups to identify possible solutions. This is the list that resulted from our prioritization. So, So the next few slides are talking about the solutions, some of the ideas that came out of our workshop that we will be looking at in greater detail in the future. And the possible solutions that came out were pretty wide-ranging. Can't get to the next slide on my notes here. Okay. And many of the solutions are based on improving, expanding existing models and methods, and even resurrecting models that were good in past years, such as building cooperatives. Some of the solutions were very localized, while others, such as federal surplus land dedicated to the production, local production of food, must be approached at the national level. And consumers were consistently seen as important actors in efforts to increase access to healthy food. And community-based facilities were seen as important assets that really had to be involved in creating a better food environment. The need for information was a constant theme. Who can collect it and how it can best reach the people who need it the most were questions that came up, I think, in every single one of the breakout groups. And then there was a total consensus that local food production has to become part of municipalities' overall plans. Regulations governing land, local agriculture can't continue to be a hodgepodge of ordinances and local fixes. CETA Chicago's next steps will build on what we learned at the TA workshop. First, we are going to organize local community-based workshops for planners, and we're going to work very hard to get local officials involved. It's good to have the expertise, it's good to have the staff there, but if you don't have the political will, things are not going to move. And what we really need to do is to focus on mayors, plan commissioners, trustees from the municipalities that we're thinking about inviting. And then secondly, we're creating a toolkit that we hope will help anybody else who's interested in replicating this process, as well as the lessons we learned in doing it, to gather information about what's going on in their own region. In summary, I would like to reiterate why CETA Chicago decided the planners were critical to our efforts to reduce CVD and diabetes in Latino and African American communities. Planners have their hand on one of the food access switches because they control or at least guide regulation of the built environment. And the built environment is what permits or does not permit the local production of food. And we want them to know that they are in fact actors and have a great role we want them to know that they're actors and in this play, and we want them to be advocates for public health and for healthier food environments. And finally, I want to acknowledge the staff of the Midwest Latino Health Research Training and Policy, the Midwest Latino Health Research Training and Policy Center, who made our TA workshop possible, and my contact information, so please let me know if you have any questions.